So here we have a three-way factorial design, same one we looked at in the PowerPoint, except we're only carrying two modalities here, vision and touch. So you can see that we've got three main effects, modality, practice, and stimulus type. That gives us three two-ways, modality by practice, modality by stimulus type, and practice by stimulus type. I encourage us always to start by looking at the pattern of the three-way for two reasons. One, the three-way is usually the centerpiece of a three-way design, the three-way interaction. Whether it's significant or not, you want to know that early because it's the most important piece. Second of all, as we know, if that three-way interaction is significant, it sets the stage for checking if all the lower order effects are descriptive or misleading. When you go after a three-way, you have to decide how you're going to go after it. You're going to have to decide which two-way you're going to use, and within that, which simple effect you're going to use. And what I recommend is you ask yourself, what variable do I really give a shit about? What variable do I really care about? What variable is going to be the most important to my audience? And in this particular study, the big deal was practice effects. The notion of perceptual practice was just getting a start. Memory practice, no problem. Problem-solving practices, but the idea that there was perceptual practice effects was struggling a little, in part because of where we began to study it. And so we're going to look at the simple effect of practice. The variable that we care about next most is modality. And the variable that is our greatest contextual variable is stimulus type. So we're going to be interested in the simple effect of practice within the practice modality interaction for each stimulus type. Listen to that language again. We're principally interested in the simple effect of practice within the practice by modality two-way for each type of stimulus. So we go in here and we draw these pointies. For visual performance with shape stimuli, there's no practice effect. 90's 90. For touch practice with shape, there is a practice effect. Do better after 10 than after 0 practices. For visual performance with texture, there's a practice effect. For touch performance with texture, there's also a practice effect that's the same size as the visual with texture. So here we have no two-way. For texture stimuli, the simple effect of practice is the same for vision and touch. No two-way. I should say, no simple two-way. For shape, we get a two-way. The practice effect is different for vision than for touch with shape stimuli. That's our three-way. And that three-way is going to color everything else that we look at. So let's draw that sucker up here. And so we've got, that's our three-way, like I say. Now we got a significant three-way. We're going to suddenly care about all 12 of the other things that we have to look at. All 6 of the unconditional effects are now suspect. And all of the conditional effects are going to be important to us as we explore their patterns. We're going to look at main effects next for two reasons. One, two-way interactions are typically the least interesting thing in a three-way. Because usually the whole idea of a three-way is to show that the simple effects are different for different levels of the third variable. So we're usually rooting for misleading two-ways. The whole reason we ran the study is to say, hey, the two-ways are missing the boat. Main effects are our real shot at some useful simplifying information. So all these damn lines and arrows are designed to show you where the marginal means for main effects come from. If we want to look at the modality effect, we need one aggregated marginal mean for everybody who was in vision. Vision practice with none, vision 10 practices with shape, vision no practices with texture, vision 10 practices with texture. We put all those together, we get a main effect for a marginal mean for vision of 82.5. When we aggregate all the touch, we get 70, and so we have a main effect of modality that overall or on average, or there is a main effect that vision outperforms touch. Now, for that main effect to be descriptive, we have to find that vision does better than touch at every combination of stimulus and modality. For texture, at both 10 practices and at no practices, we do not get a modality simple effect. For shape stimuli, at both 10 practices and 0 practices, we do get a modality effect. So the main effect of modality is only descriptive for shape stimuli. It's not descriptive for texture stimuli. So it's half of an organizing principle. When we want to look at the main effect of practice, we need one mean for everybody that had 0 practices. We need one mean for everybody that had 10 practices. Overall, we get a practice effect. For that main effect of practice to be significant, we need to find a simple effect of practice at every combination of stimulus and modality. And when we go looking, we find it for vision with texture, touch with texture, and touch with shape. However, we do not find it at vision for shape. So it's 3/4 of an organizing principle. When we look at the main effect of stimulus type, we again need one marginal mean for everybody who had shape stimuli, one marginal mean for everybody who had texture stimuli. Doesn't look like there's much of an effect there. We'd like to have a significance test, then we know that sample size is going to determine whether that non-nil null is significant or not. But in order for this pattern to be descriptive, we have to find it at every combination of practice and modality, which is sort of annoying because the three-way isn't really set up for it. And so the easiest thing to do is to just take a minute and reorganize the data so that we can do that. So we're going to have shape and texture, and we're going to have that for, 0 practices and 10 practices for vision and touch. And so shape vision 0 is 90, shape vision 10 is 90. Touch shape 0 is 60. And 10 is 70. Vision texture 0 is 70. And 10 is 80. And the same for touch. And we can find that just for the heck of it, why don't we go ahead and say that there is a stimulus type effect that shape people do better with shape than texture. And so that's true for vision, but it's not true for touch. where not only do we get a null, but we get a reversal, which sort of explains why this is so small. This is an aggregate formed from offsetting opposing effect directions. Two ways involve the construction of what are called semi-marginal means, which means we're doing some aggregating but not complete aggregating. Not everybody uses that language. I find it helpful because now different effects have different kinds of means. Simple effects have cell means, main effects have marginal means. Main effects have marginal means, two ways have semi-marginal means. So, we need to have one score for everybody that had vision and no practice, which means the aggregate of vision, no practice shape, and vision, no practice texture. When we lay this out, we get an interaction. The practice effect is smaller for vision than for touch. Right? You can do that if you want. Some people like using multiple pointies, some people like pointy size. I've known people who use pointy color, but I can never remember which order. Yeah, you gotta think rainbow. Smaller, it's way too hard for me. Now, once again, this pattern of data is more interesting if either the aggregation makes great conceptual sense or the pattern is descriptive. Now, whooping together texture and shape stimuli, especially these texture and shape stimuli, I'm not comfortable saying that when we aggregate those, we're describing object perception. That was the intent. But given what was used to represent shape, which was, these were polygons that were cut out of floor tile. You felt the edges or looked at them. And the texture was either 60 grit sandpaper or 120 grit sandpaper. The idea that if we put that grit difference and these sorts of shape differences together, we have captured object perception. It's not an aggregation that I think of as capturing a meaningful target population. So this interaction is only going to be interesting to me if it's true for both shape and texture stimuli. And so if we look, this pattern of data is descriptive for neither shape stimuli nor texture stimuli, and so frankly, it's not all that interesting. It is neither representative as a population representation, nor is it representative as a simplifying description. So, our next two-way is modality and stimulus type. So now we have to aggregate everybody who used vision and shape, no matter how many times they practiced. Everybody who used touch and shape, no matter how many times they practiced. When we look at this pattern, we see that the simple effect of stimulus type is reversed for vision and touch. Pretty cool. But again, this is only interesting to us if we get that same pattern for zero practices and for 10 practices. Now, it just so happens that we have that portrayal of the three-way up here. And we can see that for zero practices, vision does better with shape than texture. Touch does better than texture with shape. Texture than with shape. And we get the same pattern for 10 practices. And so this two-way, while not representing a target population, because I don't know what you get when you combine zero practices and 10. I'm not sure that's 5.5. Okay. Actually, I know it isn't. You get very different learning curves in all of these conditions. That was part of the 4 and 5 way that we eventually did. But this becomes useful because it's simplifying. No matter how much practice we looked at, vision does better with shape, touch does better with texture. And that was nice to find because there's a lot of arguing about whether different modalities were key to different affordances offered by different stimulus types. That was something that a gentleman named Gibson had started pushing in 1962, and in 1982 there was really almost no studies that had compared perception in different modalities with different stimulus types, which is the only way to test that hypothesis. And so it was really cool to have these data because nobody else had them. People were arguing about things, but they didn't have the data. Nice place to be as a young scientist. The other two-way is annoying because we can't use either of the two horizontals. We now have two things that we have to, that neither of which were represented on the horizontal that we have to do here. So I put practice up and down. Really, if I were drawing these again, I probably would have put texture left and right because we tend to compare left and right better than we compare up and down. And if I did do it up and down, I'd probably put 10 on top. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I still remember the night that I built this. So, if we're going to look at the practice effect, then we see that we get a bigger practice effect with texture than with shape. Now, in order to care about that, we have to find the same basic practice effect, 0 versus 10, for shape and texture for vision and for touch. This is the hardest one to get right. So, vision 0, shape is 90. Vision 0, texture is 70 over there. Vision 10, shape is 90, that one. Vision 10 texture. Vision 10 texture, that one. Touch 0, shape and texture. No. And texture. Touch 10, shape and texture. And so we get 10 non-descriptive. Now the cool thing is in SPSS, by changing the order in which you list the variables, you can get these different combinations. You don't have to sit there and do this. We'll show you how to do that Friday. We'll show you the different ways of ordering things and getting different patterns out of it. But that's the idea of how you work your way through and get an idea of what effects you have that are significant, non-significant, descriptive, and non-descriptive. All right.